Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As if to underscore her defiance of the Bush administration, Speaker Nancy Pelosi gave
the solemn burden of history. We remember the victims of the genocide of the Armenians.
That historical note has become a testy confrontation with the White House. At issue, a House resolution.
All right, let's pause right here. The Democrats are either purposely or inadvertently, through their stupidity and their backbiting, trying to provoke World War III. This acknowledgement of a genuine Holocaust could not have come at a more provocative time. It was led, I understand, by none other than the agent provocateur from Stanford University, Tom Lantos. Lantos, who he himself is a survivor of the Holocaust against the Jews, has now gone behind the Congress with a group of 30-some-odd radical leftists and provoked the Turkish government in a very dangerous way. Many of you don't understand how dangerous this is. It could lead to World War III, or if you think we are already in World War III, which some do, it could provoke a tremendous ratcheting up of World War III, and I mean almost on the level of a World War I, which was also a war that never should have happened, and it happened by accident. None of the great powers wanted that war. And they were led into it one after the other. Now, Lantos is a long-term troublemaker. As I say, he's an agent provocateur who hides behind his Holocaust credentials to get away with literal murder, as far as I'm concerned. I despise Tom Lantos. I think he's a disgusting man. I don't like professional, let us say, troublemakers who get off on tragedies and use the tragedy as a weapon against the society that has been so nice to them. So Lantos, the Democrat from California, Northern California, leads a group of all Democrat leftists to at this time attack Turkey, saying that the Turks committed a genocide against the Armenians, which they did. And consequently, the Turks now have withdrawn their ambassador to the United States. This is so unbelievable. I'll tell you exactly what's behind this. The Democrats don't have the guts, nor do they have the votes to cause a withdrawal of troops from Iraq. So they do what all backbiting sneaks do. They do it backwards. They do it behind your back. In other words, they're the type that cut you off from the right lane on the highway and then give you a finger. And when you catch up with them and try to wring their neck, they scream, "Oh, I'm a victim! I'm a victim! What did I do? What did I do?" That's Lantos to a T. What he did here was, he knows he can't stop the war in Iraq, him and his group of leftist buddies. So he knows that if he can anger Turkey, and Turkey now withdraws their willingness to permit us to bring fuel and water, for example, through Turkey to our troops in Iraq, which we do, they can, in essence, starve our troops of fuel and water and thereby cut off the war. In other words, they're consorting with the enemy here. In all wars, in any siege, if you can cut off essential supplies to the opposition, you can defeat them without firing a shot. Lantos is a traitor. And so are the others who have provoked Turkey through the back door. Not only that, there are other stories and big stories at that. Now, before you go on and start attacking me on this, let me say this. I have repeatedly stated there was a genocide against the Armenians by the Ottoman Turks. But let's stop being mincing words here, the word Ottoman Turks. That's what you hear on CNN. You hear Ottoman Turks. No one knows what that means. Who were they, Christians with axes? They were Muslims. The Muslim Turks killed over 1 million Armenians. But you wouldn't understand that if you just got it off the news headlines, which is why this show is so important. Because I have to decipher everything that those rat scum twist in this world. And the world has never been in a more dangerous place than it is today with these spineless, ballless men wearing dirty, ugly suits on the media. I can't take it anymore. What are they dancing around the Muslims for? You want to hear your dear friends, the Muslims? They have warned Christians, make peace with us or we'll destroy the world. That's right. It's never happened before. Go and read it on michaelsavage.com. I got stories today that I can't believe. I can't believe the number of stories that are in my hand. Normally, there's never a slow news day if you really pay attention to what's going on. But this is a day that I can use 20 hours to cover all the stories, and I'm not going to be able to. They range from a sadomasochistic death, and I've tried to warn you that these are the sickest people in our society. They're exactly the people who manned the Nazi concentration camps, disguising themselves as progressives, and they are in San Francisco. They run this city. They run this city! In another time, they would have been locked up in mental hospitals or put in prisons for what they do to each other. But they're doing it in public, and Nancy Pelosi looked the other way and says it doesn't harm Christianity. That is why I keep the pictures up on my website. You go look at them and see the mindset of these people. Well, now one of these disgusting mutant warriors has died because the other one hung him in a closet to dry a little too long, and he died. Here's another big story. Well, the second big story is Muslims warn Christians, get along with us or we'll destroy you. That's story two. Okay, Armenian Holocaust, number one. Muslims now warning Christianity, get along with us or we'll destroy you, story number two. Here is story number three. There is a deranged hag who calls herself a conservative. She's sort of like a gravel Gertie in a miniskirt who looks like a post-op. She looks like a Rocky Horror Picture Show post-op transvestite. Her name is Ann Coulter. I had her on my show years and years ago before I was a national host. I was one of the first hosts to have her on a show. And then I got on to her really quick and never had her on again. Once this show went national, I wouldn't let her near me. I don't like her. I don't like what she stands for. I don't like her shtick. She goes on an unknown cable show with some guy in advertising. He has a show that looks to me like, I don't know if it's true or false. It looks like he pays for the time on CNBC. I don't know if he does or not. But it's like a hobby for this guy. And she goes on this guy's show, the deranged hag Coulter, and calls for the conversion of all Jews. And when he says to her, what, are you kidding me? She says, no, the world would be a better place if everybody were a Christian. I don't think you understand what she just said. And I don't think this woman has a place in our civil society. This is not provocation. This is not satire. This is not sarcasm. This is Jew baiting of the lowest order. And I would say, well, she owes an apology. She owes nothing. You know, what she owes is you never to buy one of her books. That's what she owes. Now, you want to talk about any of this, call me at 1-800-449-8255. You want to read about it, go on to michaelsavage.com. I want you to play a short version of the deranged hag Coulter calling for the conversion of all Jews. Play it now.
Take the Republican National Convention. And people were happy. They're Christian. They're tolerant. They defend America. They
Christian. So we should be Christian. It would be better if we were all Christian?
Yes.
We should be all be Christian.
Yes. Would you like to come to church with me, Donnie?
So I should not be a Jew. I should be a Christian. And this would be a better
place.
Well,
you could be a practicing Jew, but you're not.
Okay, I actually am. That's not true. I really am. But so we would be better if we were, if people were no Jews,
well,
no Buddhists.
Well, whenever I'm harangued by
that's, you can't believe that.
You know, liberals on diversity. No, it's true.
All right, there it is. I've always sensed there was something wrong with this picture. And now, of course, we all know what was wrong with that picture. It's one thing to look like a Rocky Horror Picture Show post-op transvestite. It's another thing to sound like one. So if you'd like to talk about any of these topics, Muslims warn Christians, get along with us or we'll destroy you. Democrat gang provoking Turkey to withdrawing its ambassador, possibly to attacking the Kurds in the north, possibly to cutting off our rights to fly water and gasoline and other essentials to our troops in Turkey, all because of that vulture Lantos and his cronies. Go ahead. Give me a call. You can give me a call on that if you want. 1-800-449-8255. Michael Savage is back. I'm back from, the last trip to Florida. That was it. I think this is the last trip I'll ever go there. I'm convinced that having been there this time again, and I've thought about moving there, and I mean, it's not to offend anybody in Florida. The more I'm there, the more I realize God did not create the peninsula, let's say south of the middle part of Florida, for anyone to live there. It was created for alligators and crocodiles. And mosquitoes and rats. It was not made for human habitation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
As you said, I should not. We should just throw Judaism away, and we should all be Christians then. Or,
yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. So it's kind of a fast track.
Really?
You don't. Yeah. You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly.
Yes.
You're too educated. You can't. Are you? You're like my friend.
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No. But
we have the fast track program.
Sure. We might put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on. You can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
Let's wipe Israel off the earth. I mean, what, no Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected.
I don't think you understand what this Rocky Horror Picture Show post-op TV look-alike persona of Ann Coulter just did. She thinks she's cleverer than God himself. She is the classic axe-wielding anti-Semite of the past come back to haunt us. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, she appears on an unknown cable TV show and says this to sell a book that's going to go nowhere. But I have to ask you what you think about this. KNEW, Danielle, what do you think about this post-op TV look-alike persona?
I'm young and I'm a conservative, and it's so hard, especially for Jews like me, to be taken seriously because I'm young, I'm attractive, I talk about this with my husband all the time, and for this anti-Semite, bleach blonde hag to go on TV and say that, I'm disgusted. Where are all the conservative women? She is the only one. Is she the only one we have to look up to, Dr. Seth?
Well, here's what I want to ask you. What have you thought of her in the past? I mean, I was on to her 10 years ago. I knew what was under the surface of that gravel girdy persona, but how do you feel today? Do you feel that you've been cheated by her over the years with her sort of anti-liberal books?
Oh, I feel so cheated because I have bought all of her books, Dr. Savage. I didn't know she was an anti-Semite. I am disgusted right now. I want to go home. I'm on the freeway right now.
Well, maybe you ought to ask for your money back. I don't know what to say. She was published by Crown by this jerk named Ross who thinks he's publishing conservatives. But I got to tell you something. This publisher is now in trouble. They will never ever get one of my books to publish. Ever. Ever. They're not going to come near me. I wouldn't touch that publishing house. It would be like being published by Goebbels, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm so disgusted because, you know, I thought that here is a conservative woman. You know, she's younger. I can look up to. There's none.
But you know, oh, that argument that Christians are perfected Jews is the classic argument of the Jew-baiter, anti-Semite, axe-yielding monster of the past. I mean, you see, the educated Christian knows that that's not true. But the uneducated lout, the drunken lout, still thinks that's true. Now, you'd expect more from her, wouldn't you, since she has a law degree? But apparently, her feelings run rather deep. I think they supersede her cerebrum.
Well, you know what? Just because you have a law...
This woman is thinking either with her medulla or something below her navel. I'm not quite sure which. Thanks for the call. Indianapolis, Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I really don't understand what you're saying here because evidently all of the writers of the New Testament were just drunken louts because that's what all of them taught. We all need to believe in Jesus. We all need to become Christians.
Wait, so you're saying that all Jews should be converted to Christianity?
Yeah, of course. Paul.
So then you're identical to the Muslim fanatics who want the same thing. So you're a terrorist.
Then Paul was a terrorist because he was a Jew.
Well, first of all, you're an ignorant lout. You're an ignorant drunken lout because you don't even know who Paul was. Who was Paul?
Oh, Saul of Tarsus.
I will ask you, who was Paul? Was Paul a Jew?
Paul was a Jew before he became.
Thank you. And therefore, many Jews believe that Christianity is the fourth sect of Judaism. How do you like that one? Did you ever think that you're not a perfected religion or perfected Jews? Did you ever think that you might be imperfect Jews? Did anyone ever say that to you in one of your drunken orgies?
I believe what the New
Testament... Maybe you're Jews who went astray. Maybe you're an imperfected Jew.
And Gentiles must...
Maybe you ought to be converted to Judaism. Why don't you practice the religion that gave birth to your religion? How would you like that? How would you like someone to say to you, your religion is false, that the real religion that you're practicing is Judaism, and that you're just a watered-down Jew? How would you like that one?
Go over me, because you're afraid of...
No, because that would offend you, wouldn't it? And you've never had anyone say that to you. But you could be as offensive as this post-op TV look-alike Coulter was when she says all Jews should convert to Christianity and she thinks it's a joke. Well, that's as offensive as saying all Christians should practice their authentic religion, which is Judaism. Wouldn't you find that to be offensive?
That is the New Testament message, that Jesus is the Messiah, that all Jews...
Oh, I don't care what the message is. I don't care what the message is. We live in the United States of America, not in Poland in 1850, where you obviously came from. It doesn't matter to me that your grandfather carried an axe and killed innocent Jews. What matters to me is we live in a country where you could be any religion or no religion. But you apparently like The Hague and you'd like to forcibly convert Jews. I can't help you. I cannot help you if you're a bigoted anti-Semite. Sacramento, Phil, your opinion, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I think you got her wrong. I think she loves the Jewish people. I do. God tells us he's going to curse those who curse the Jews, and he's going to bless those who bless them. That's why the American nation prospers. What the gentleman before you was trying to say is, yeah, she wasn't being anti-Semite. She didn't talk about forcing Jews. She just thinks that if they would be completed by accepting the Messiah.
Oh, so we're incomplete. We're only four-fifths a man. Christian's a full man. But we're only four-fifths a spiritual man. You know, my friend, I got to tell you something. You really got to listen to what you just said. You have just said that anyone who's not a Christian is four-fifths or less a spiritual man. Do you realize what you just said? That only your religion is the right way?
No, I didn't say it. Christ said.
Are you saying that all the Muslims on the earth need to be converted to Christianity as well?
If they expect to spend eternity with the...
How about all of the Buddhists? Should they also be converted to Christianity because they're not complete? What are they, three-fifths a man? So what is it, the Jews are four-fifths a Christian? The Muslims are three-fifths a Christian? The Buddhists are two-fifths a Christian? An atheist is one-fifth a Christian? Do you have any idea how bigoted this is, what you are thinking and saying?
Bigoted.
You are spewing gutter-like, rabid anti-Semitism and you don't even know it. Thanks for the call. I am stunned that you people don't even understand what you're saying. I had this argument once before with Jerry Falwell when he said only Christians can go to heaven. I told him basically to go to the other place.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. So the main stories are Muslims are now warning Christians, get along with us or we'll destroy you. A deranged hag who you thought was a conservative and tolerant and a compassionate person goes on an unknown cable show and says that all Jews are imperfect Christians and they need to convert to Christianity. It goes on and on. I mean, you can't believe that. I think the world is unraveling. It's like the world is unraveling before my eyes. You know, I have a theory on why this is happening. I think that we as animals sense that something I think we sense a global cataclysm is sort of in the offing and right around the corner. We sense it. We can feel it like, you remember before the tsunami in Indonesia, the animals ran for high ground? Do you remember that one? You remember it was bizarre. The people didn't know it, but the animals ran up to the mountains in Indonesia before the tsunami hit, because they have, different senses than we do. But, you know, we still have sort of extraterrestrial senses or fifth-dimensional, sixth-dimensional senses as humans. I believe we all sense that we're very close to this apocalyptic blowout between Christianity and the world of radical Islam. And I believe it's bringing out both the best and the worst in people, as usually occurs before great events in history. The best and the worst will be seen in the very near future. And I believe that the worst has come out in the demented hag, for example. And I believe this is being provoked by the Hitler of our time, who is the most evil man in current history, who should have been assassinated when he visited New York. It would have prevented World War III. I've got to remind you that had Hitler been killed in 1939, there would have been no World War II. And perhaps 100 million people would not have died. And it's the same with this Ahmadinejad. The Iranian people are going to be the people who suffer the most. They hate him. They hate his mullahs in the worst way. He has turned Iran backwards, as far backwards and as fast as he can. He's hated by the Iranian people. Now, the strategy of attacking Iran, that's a separate story, or debating Iran, are being played right now. The State Department wants more dialogue with Iran. The Defense Department wants to attack Iran. According to an Iranian expert, both of these strategies are going to lead to disaster. It's an amazing story. It's on michaelsavage.com from World Tribune. You got to read this story if you want to know how we're not thinking this one through. But let's get down to the pebble in the shoe. The deranged hag, who you thought was a conservative, uses her kind of smirky, I could use a few other words here, but I'm not in a bar. But they're not pretty words about her. I've always sensed this about her, but she'll say anything to get attention, which is not the mark of dignity nor the mark of intelligence. She says basically that Jews need to be converted to Christianity, and the host, who is an otherwise kind of clueless kind of guy, who was dealt in symbols all his life, I think does the best he can and did a fairly good job. Listen to it again.
But you said we should just throw Judaism away and we should all be Christians then. Or,
yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. It's kind of a fast track.
Really?
You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly. You're too educated. You can't. Are you like my friend?
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No.
But we have the fast track program.
Sure. We might put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on. You can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
That's why Israel left the earth. I mean, what, no Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected.
We just want Jews to be perfected. So a Jew is 4/5 a Christian. And is that what you're saying? And what does that make a Muslim? And what does that make a Buddhist? And what does that make a Hindu? And what does that make an atheist, Dan? 4/5, 3/5, 2/5, 1/5. Of you, you're better than everybody. See, I smelled a rat a long time ago, you know. Now, for those of you who are Christians and are ignorant of your own history, in that you have no education whatsoever, you only have belief, which is okay. It's good to have belief rather than no belief. There are certain things you have to know about your own religion. So I'll start at the beginning. In the beginning, there were the Jews who brought the concept of religion to the earth. That is, instead of worshiping menstrual blood and feathers, rocks and trees, we were spoken to our ancestors by God. And God said that I'm choosing you for a tremendous role. It's not going to be easy. It's not because you're better than anybody. In fact, I'm going to burden you with this choice. It's a burden. You see, many of the bad Jews, the liberal Jews, walk around with an attitude that they're better than everybody, which is why they irk everybody. That's my opinion. They got it all wrong. They think that they're the chosen people, when in fact they were chosen because it's a burden, not chosen to be nasty to everybody. So then several sects of Judaism arose over the centuries. I've told you that the other day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. And then, of course, the Essenes, another sect of Judaism. And the Essenes, by the way, represented the extreme left wing of the Jewish people. You may not know that, you know, but we won't go into that. From this sect of Judaism called the Essenes came the Christians. Now, who were the Christians and how did they begin? From these three main sects of Judaism, a fourth sect of Judaism was added in the third decade of the first century AD, namely the Christian sect. Its founder was Jesus. He was baptized in the Essene manner by another Jew, John the Baptist. And he was also probably an Essene, since he preached and baptized in the vicinity where the Essenes had their largest and most influential community and monastery. Then what happens is this. Jesus is crucified by the Romans. The Christians are threatened with oblivion. But then, through a vigorous proselytization program that was initiated by one of their former persecutors, Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul, the Christian movement rapidly gains new adherents, most of them non-Jews. And it was from the ranks of the first two of these sects that the Zealots gained most of their members. So I don't want to go into any details on this. To me, I believe that America is a pretty great country where religious tolerance is the cornerstone of the nation, where all religions are permitted to be practiced and tolerated, or no religion can be practiced or tolerated. That's what makes America different than the nations that people poured in from, particularly in the 18th and 19th centuries. But now when we have a bigot like this hag provoking the bigotry that I'm hearing on the show today, we recognize that we are actually devolving as a nation, not evolving as a nation. You understand that? Now, you want to talk about any of this, you can. You have anything to say about this, you can call me. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Who is the Sacramento, Mike, you're welcome to the Savage Nation. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Michael. I wanted to comment on what Ann Coulter said. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm a cradle Catholic, born and raised, and my belief is that God has a plan for the Jews, and that they inherit heaven by birthright, and the Christians inherit it by adoption. And that's my belief in the way I've been raised by my parents. God has a separate plan for each to inherit their own way, heaven. And I'm just stunned that a woman...
I don't understand people who say that my way or the highway when it comes to religion. That's led to the deaths of millions of people in the past. I'd hate to see this happening again, but I'm afraid it is. Mm-hmm. Not only are the Muslims saying convert or will kill you, now I'm hearing it from callers to my show.
Well, I'm Catholic, and I'm amazed when I talk to fellow Catholics that I hear anti-Semitic comments from. I would lay down my life for a Jew any day of the week. I would never allow a Holocaust to go on before my eyes without trying to do something ever again.
What I don't understand is how this woman can think she's cute and keep Jew-baiting this guy on television like it's a damn joke.
I'm a blowhard over the last couple of years with her ego. It's just gotten a hold of her.
Well, you know, I used to joke that as liberal women got older and as their derrières collapsed, they became more and more insanely liberal. I guess I'm going to have to develop an equal theorem for those on the right who have lost their looks over a 15-year period and what they become. I guess you can say that as their looks disappear, we look at the emerging Harridan beneath.
Yeah, you know.
I'm being rather polite because, you know, I've become more polite over the last few weeks. I have a few other choice words I could use for my days in the Bronx, so I won't use them now on the Savage Nation. Thank you. God bless you. 1-800-449-8255. Now we got other callers. Josh in New York on WOR. Your opinion, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just was wondering why you're so upset regarding Ann Coulter. I consider myself an Orthodox Jew, and I'm certainly not a fan of Ann Coulter. But I don't think she's anti-Semitic. I think she's just basically stating Christian doctrine, from what I understand, and certainly from what I understand from my Christian friends.
So you, as an Orthodox Jew, look forward to being turned into a full man when you throw away your black garb and become a Christian?
I'm very happy with my religion, and
well,
I'm
wait
not...
a minute. You can't be happy. You're not a full human, according to her. You're four-fifths a spiritual person. Particularly, you guys who wear the black and actually practice the commandments. You're a throwback. You're not an evolved Federal Express version of Judaism called Christians.
I don't feel threatened by her or any other Christian who wants to.
Well, you're an ignorant moron because it's that kind of rhetoric that led to the pogroms that your grandfather fled from, if he survived at all. They started in the churches with that or in the bars, saying that the Jews are, you know, they're not like us, those Jews. They really ought to become like us because it's for their own good. So let's go into the village and cut the beard off one of those Jews. Let's make him look like us. They had a lot of fun. Then they had more mushka. Then they went back the next night. And next day burnt down a house with a Jew in it, figuring maybe that'll get them to do the right thing. Don't you understand that, Josh, that words are very powerful?
Can I speak?
I don't know. Can you?
I'd like to if you'd let me.
You tried already. You tried once and you lost. So now try again.
As far as I understand, the New Testament states, and certainly most Christians, and certainly the Christians who are missionaries, their goal is to convert non-Christians to become Christians. I don't agree with it, and I certainly don't want to be Christian, but that's their desire, and that's their goal, as Jerry Falwell told you. That's all she was stating, as far as I understand.
So you agree with her, then?
I agree with her that that's what her religion says. I don't agree with her that's what people should do. Certainly not.
So she says Jews need to be perfected by becoming Christians, and you as a Jew don't take offense at that.
I take offense to Christianity wanting to convert me to become a Christian, but she was only stating what her religion tells her.
But then you see, you don't understand something. You're a supine man. You're not strong enough for your own sake. You don't even understand that this kind of statement, unless it's challenged, will lead to pretty striking consequences, Josh.
I don't know.
Josh, don't you understand the history of your own people and what's happened to them?
Very well, probably as well or better than you do, certainly.
Okay, so men like you let this go on 100 years ago, or rather 150 years ago in Europe, and the next thing your temples were being burned?
I don't agree with the doctrine. It doesn't mean that makes her anti-Semitic. If what she's saying is Christian doctrine, then every Christian is anti-Semitic, according to you. Every believing Christian is an anti-Semite, according to what you're saying.
No, it's according to what you're saying, not according to what I'm saying. I just had a Christian on the show who disagrees with the Hague.
It says it, not me, the New Testament.
Wait a minute. If a Christian considers himself a perfected Jew, that's what you're saying. Is that what you're saying? So that means you're an imperfect spiritual being, Josh?
The New Testament says that in order to go to...
No, forget the New Testament. So if you buy into what she said, you're like the victim who's being beaten and says, it's okay that she beats me spiritually. That's what you're saying. You're letting her beat you up. You have no self-respect. You should spit in her face the next time you hear that said. A thousand Orthodox Jews should go to her publisher with fire in their eyes and show that they still have a pair of balls. Not sit there with sponge cake in their beards. Stop with the sponge cake and the Stella d'Oro. It's poisoned your liver and it's poisoned your soul. Stand up and be a man.
Yeah.
Get off my show. Stop with the holy roller. Suicidal. I'm just as outraged as I was last week when Nancy Pelosi was given a chance to say something about these sick bums in San Francisco with leather whipping each other in the gutters outside a church, and she said it doesn't harm Christianity. She had a chance there. She said nothing. We have no leadership. No Christian leader, no Jewish leader, no political leader. None of us know which way to turn. Don't you understand where we are today? That a hag like this goes on a TV show and makes it a joke and she gets away with it? No, I'm not letting her get away with it. I'm going to continue this until you understand how vile this is. I'll be right back. Savage.
Said I should not. We should just throw Judaism away, and we should all be Christians. Then, or,
yeah,
really.
Well, it's a lot easier. It's kind of a fast track.
Really,
you have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly.
Yes.
You're too educated. You can't. Are you? You're like my
friend. Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No. But
we have the fast track program.
Sure. We'll put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on. You can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
No, but the fact that's why Israel left the earth. I mean, what, no Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected.
I'd like to say something else on this show. You know, if David Duke, the former head of the Ku Klux Klan, had a sex change operation in Russia and came back, he would look like Ann Coulter and he would sound like Ann Coulter. Well, one good note for her, though, is that her book sales will likely now spike in the Ukraine and Iran, Syria, and Dearborn, Michigan. We have to track this demographically, but I expect that her books will no longer sell in other parts of America, but it might spike in the Ukraine, Iran, Syria, and Dearborn, Michigan. This is unbelievable to me. I mean, the poor guy who has that show, you know, it's like a nothing show. He has puffball guests on, basically. It's a... You know, when you self-publish a book, whatever they call that, there's like a self-published television show. But I think he was caught off guard by her. It's unbelievable to me. Mike O.R., go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
The poor guy. That guy's worse than Boxer and Feinstein. I think you're missing this whole point. Her point is, these Jews, right? You're listening to these Jews. The guy who just called you up is Jewish. He's against her before he made the anti-Semitic comment. Why is this guy, the Jewish guy, against Ann Coulter? Because she's conservative.
What are you talking about? You know, what did you just say? You agree with Ann Coulter that Jews need to be converted?
Let me tell you something. I'm Jewish. My own father don't like people in my own family because they're their beliefs. You got Jewish teachers with bumper stickers that say Obama on it. I mean, there was loony.
Mike, you're not Jewish. You're confused. You don't even know what a Jew is. When was the last time you were in a temple?
My bar mitzvah.
How many years ago was that? 50?
Steve, listen, Steve, you're missing a point.
You don't even know what your religion is. You're one of the fallen Jews, and you're trying to speak for the Jewish people, and you're actually sounding like, you know, what you really are, man. You're a confused guy who doesn't even know who you are. You have no religious identity. So how can you speak for what Jews are when you have no knowledge of your own people?
Jews welcomed an Iranian guy in Colombia. Is that acceptable?
Well, now you're mixing it up again. Again, look, Mike, I'm sorry to tell you, you really need to get a religious identity before you even speak on a radio show. So that's that. That's all. That's the story. Sad what's going on in the world, I got to tell you, that a woman who posed as a conservative would... Do you have any idea what this is going to do for the so-called conservative movement, which is dead anyway? I mean, with George Bush, who put already a spike through the heart of the conservative movement, she may as well have taken a knife and put it in the neck. How is anybody going to not believe that conservatives are not Nazis in their heart? You know that liberals fear that conservatives in their heart are bigots and Nazis. They fear that. So through 20 years of hard work, people have come to say, well, maybe not. Maybe they really don't hate Jews. They don't hate blacks. They don't hate Muslims. They don't hate the... Maybe they're not all bit. Now she shows, it's like, what does she have, a bad Prozac day? The medication wore off? What is this? This is unbelievable to me. But what the bigger point here is why are the Jews silent on this? Because there is no spokesman for the Jewish people in the United States of America or in the world. The Christians, through the Pope, have an ardent spokesman, although he's been silent pretty good lately. Something tells me they got to him too already. If you go down on michaelsavage.com, you're not going to believe this story. This one will blow your mind. San Francisco Archbishop blasted for giving communion to men dressed as nuns. I have pictures of this bishop doing this. This entire church in San Francisco has been infected with transvestites, with homosexuals, with God knows they're probably animal lovers in there. And this bishop, this archbishop, needs to be thrown out and his robes burned in order for the Catholic Church to have any dignity left.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Said I should not. We should just throw Judaism away, and we should all be Christians then. Or,
yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. It's kind of a fast track.
Really?
You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly. Yes. You're too educated. You can't. Are you? You like my friend?
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No. But
we have the fast track program.
Sure. We might put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on. You can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
That's why Israel left the earth. I mean, what, no Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected.
So there's somebody who has posed as a conservative for many years. I told you I wouldn't have her on the show from the time I became a national host. I was on to this person. There was just a little too much about that laugh and that love of self. Now, if David Duke, the head of the Ku Klux Klan, had a sex change operation in the Ukraine and came back, he'd be Ann Coulter today, because her statement is no different than that of David Duke. I know her book sales will likely soar in the Ukraine, in parts of Iran and Syria and Dearborn, Michigan. But then again, if that's the whole point of it all, then why write a book? We also read today that on the Drudge Report that Ramzi Youssef, the terrorist mastermind behind 9/11, who was in a Supermax prison, has said he has converted to Christianity. I don't know if that's related to this at all. Maybe Ramzi Youssef converted because he was afraid that she was going to come to the prison to do a reading. I don't really know. You know, after all, if she considers Jews 4/5 a spiritual person, I can't imagine what this hag must think of Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and God only knows what she thinks of atheists, that they're not even humans. But then again, we see on the world news that Muslims are, for the first time in modern history, warning Christians, get along with us or we will destroy you. This is coming out of the Muslim world, and that's because they're feeling their oats. Don't take this as a missive of peace. It's a warning because they feel strong and emboldened. They know the West is in disarray. They know that the West is fractured. They see the degenerates of the type I have on my website ruling the streets of too many Western cities. People who in the past would have been locked up in mental hospitals or put in prisons are now electing officials in San Francisco, for example. So the document comes to the Christian leaders from so-called leading Muslim scholars, and they claim that they're pleading with Christians to come together with us on the common essentials of our two religions. Well, that's not really the subtext. The subtext is, do as we say, don't stand in our way, or we will go to war with you. You read it, it says that Islam is not against Christians so long as they do not wage war against Muslims on account of their religion. So what does that mean? That means Muslims should be able to do anything they want anywhere they are at any time? Of course that's what it means. It's the pretext to war. Then you got the Democrats through the left-wing slime ball from San Francisco, the San Francisco area, Tom Lantos, that man very much in love with his Hungarian pseudo-intellectual accent, who tries to provoke a Turkish attack on the Kurds in order to stop the supply of ammunition, food, and water to our troops in Iraq. This is unbelievable to me. So this keeps going on and on and on. It's unbelievable, these stories. If you want to comment on any of them, michaelsavage.com that's my website. If you want to read the stories, the phone number here is 1-800-4. I'm jet lagged. 1-800-449-8255. But the book thing. I got to tell you about it. The two books and the DVD. It's going to end on November 1st, and we don't have a lot of them left. The sets. If you want to get them for the holidays, get them now. You can get them for Christmas, next Ramadan, Passover, Easter, or any of the holidays that you might be celebrating, and send them to a friend of yours. Buy a salami for your boy in the army or something like that. Sadomasochism, bondage, death in Massachusetts raises legal questions. So one of them tied the other one up, put him in duct tape in a closet, left him there a little too long to baste, and he died. That's all. It's all legal. Well, you know what? You don't want to make it illegal because it's only a lifestyle choice. It's much like what your grandfather and grandmother practiced in their bedroom, was wrapping the other person in tape, tying him up in a closet and hanging them there in order to get sexual pleasure. That's only a lifestyle choice, according to the Democrats. It's equal to a loving husband and wife who raise a family and spend all the hard years together and recognize that marriage is work. Marriage is hard work, but marriage is the only road for a decent man. That's right. That's what it's all about. That's what it's been about from the beginning of time. You want to be a man, you get married and raise children, despite the hardships. You put aside your narcissistic little egomaniacal needs to fulfill every other desire in the world, and you recognize that you have a main role on earth, which is to raise a family, and stop acting like a punk in the Castro district. And there are other stories there, too. I mean, I don't want to read them all. What else do I have for you here? The rise of mosques becomes catalyst for conflict across Europe. It's a heck of a story. The nice, peace-loving Muslims in Europe now are feeling their oats, and they're, let's see. Let's begin in London. In London, the Muslims, the peace-loving Muslims, want to dig up 350,000 Christians in an historic London cemetery to create a Muslim cemetery. Do you believe this? In the past, this was war. Men fought that their ancestors shouldn't be disinterred by the barbaric enemy. And ran them into the ground. A third-wave punk queen ran the true Englishman out of England. Put him in jail if they dared say a word. As the Democrats want to do to me and everyone else who stands up for this country. How much longer do you think I can get away with telling you the truth? If these vermin on the left, these Democrats scum, take power, there's going to be no truth left in this country. Your ancestors will be disinterred from their cemetery. They will take the Jews out of the ground and the Christians out of the ground and tell you that they're old and it doesn't matter, and they'll put Muslims in the ground. And you won't do anything about it. You'll be interested in whether some candy striper puked on herself on Sunset Boulevard and whether you can watch something on a porno site
and who's on first and which moron hit a ball in which striped suit. That's what you become, you idiot, you. That's why you're nothing. You've lost your nation because you lost yourself, because you were brainwashed by the maniacs who run the media. There's a few other stories I can react to if you'd like. Well, you want to hear a few more on my website? I mean, I could go on and on. Islam has damaged giant rock Buddha. And what do the Buddhists do about it? Nothing. They're also busy running after the greenback or the yuan, whatever it is. They've also lost their pride. They've lost their nationality in all chasing the golden dollar. There's no nationality left. The only people who have nationality have a religious nationality called the Muslims. See, their nationality is Islam. Their nationality is a super nationality. A supranationality, excuse me, S-U-P-R-A hyphen nationality. They have a supranationalism called their religion. They go beyond any nation. They believe their religion is their nation. And so they then dominate, try to dominate wherever they appear with their supranationalism called Islam. So don't tell me I don't know what's going on in this world. How much worse does it get than Muslims in England saying they want to dig up 350,000, a third of a million bodies from an historic East London cemetery to make way for a new Muslim burial site? And the English, where are they? Hey, what? Hey, what? We're in Spain now, you know. We're in Spain. We have our pubs. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice down here. We're in Spain, yeah. You morons, you. You lost Britain a long time ago. I think the best in Britain died in World War II, and all that were left is you. There's a few other stories. More than 1 in 7 women are depressed before, during, and after pregnancy, says the drug peddlers and the drug companies. And they want to sell you toxic drugs to poison both you and your developing child. No, don't use diet or don't use nutrition. Just take a convenient drug. A toxic drug that will poison you and your developing fetus. Just listen to the pediatrician, the great pediatrician. The great pediatrician who today is lower than a drug dealer in most cases, peddling drugs because it's easier than being a doctor who knows anything. That's why I put out Healing Children Naturally. I believe every word of that book is more valid today than it was when I published it in 1982. That's what I did it for. I don't need the money. I do not need the money. It's not going to change my lifestyle one way or the other. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I'm way past caring whether you believe me or not. All I know is that I'm doing what I think is the right thing for this world in the number of years or days or months that I have left on this earth. That's all I know, and I'm clear with it. I am very clear with myself. Every word that I say to you, I say it to you because I believe it from the bottom of my heart. I know what's best for America. Yes, I know what's best for America because I'm not a bought-out pimp. I'm not owned by Goldman Sachs. I'm not owned by a lobbyist on K Street. I'm not owned by the Chinese government. I am not owned by anybody. They're all pimps, and they'd sell this country down the river, as they are doing. As I told you about last week, the 3Com deal. We're going to have a big story on that today. I haven't even gotten to it again. I have Pat Buchanan on in about an hour. He, at least he caught this wave. He knows what's going on. He says America is for sale, and the sale has just begun. It's a fire sale. It's a fire sale. George Bush is basically the chief auctioneer, what I called him. But again, you thought Bush was a conservative, so you kept silent while he was doing the opposite of what you thought a conservative should do. You thought Ann Coulter was a conservative because she hacked and laughed and did the leg crossing, the whole deal she did. Made a mockery of liberals, so you thought she was one of you. But she isn't one of you. Or is she one of you? So therefore, who are you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
There are other stories, you know, like Al Gore is going to get a Nobel Peace Prize. Of course, they gave one to Yasser Arafat, a worldwide terrorist. They give it to Jimmy Carter, the man who brought back Khomeini from obscurity and triggered worldwide Islamic fanaticism. So why not give it to an environmental fanatic and a liar at that? Al Gore, he's in good company. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, you know, Nobel Prize. Who would want a Nobel Prize? I call it the Dynamite Prize. It was built upon murder and destruction. Alfred Nobel created dynamite, TNT, trinitrotoluene. One of the most evil creations the world has ever seen. I know good is done with dynamite as well. And the money from it has been used to fund whack job left wingers for the last 25 to 30 years. So Al Gore's in very good company. But based on that, they say he's going to run against who? Hillary Clinton? What a joke that would be. That would be an unbelievable fight to witness. Would be a primary fight between Al Gore and Hillary Clinton. I would welcome it. I hope he does run. Because we have found further studies, again, debunking Al Gore's big lie that global warming is caused by man. That it's anthropogenic in nature. Everyone who is a scientist knows that there's a slight uptick in a global temperature. Everyone understands that. But not all of us agree, analyzing the data, that it is caused to any significant extent by mankind's activities, nor that it is not irreversible. Nor am I particularly arguing that I like pollution. In fact, I've probably done more to purify and save the environment than Al Gore has. But I don't want to hold up, you know, holier than thou credentials. But just looking at the science itself, and I have it here, debunking global warming, right column, middle down, michaelsavage.com. Court identifies 11 inaccuracies in Al Gore's an inconvenient truth. He will not even debate anybody. And remember, he's not a scientist. He doesn't even have a PhD in proctology. He has it nothing. But let's go back to the story that I know you want to talk about. It's not Al Gore, global warming, Islam. I know what you want to talk about. You want to talk about a woman who you feel betrayed by. Seattle, Washington. Marilyn, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. It's such a joy talking to you. I love your show.
Thanks.
Seems like you're the only one that has a backbone, for one thing. And
now, let me ask you something. Why do you think you have not heard anyone from Fox News, including those on radio, say a word about Coulter's remarks? I can tell you why in a minute, but tell me why you think that they're silent on this insult.
Because they're afraid.
Okay, let's call names here. Why would Wallbanger Hannity and Leprechaun O'Reilly not have any reaction to this?
I think they're cronies.
Right. They use her as a leg crossing skirt on their shows on a regular basis. She gets ratings for them because anybody who crosses and uncrosses their legs, no matter what they're selling, left, right, or center, will attract the eye of the average television moron. So, in other words, if they get rid of this right-wing skirt, their ratings go down. So, therefore, they need her as a guest. So, therefore, they say nothing to her.
Right-wing, I mean, it's appalling. I'm so glad that you have revealed to us, everyone.
Well, why has nobody played this? I'm the only one who got the soundbite from the show and I'm playing it, so you can listen with your own ears and judge for yourself. You listen to her, she actually says what she means, which is Jews are imperfect Christians and they should be converted. And then she starts in with that slimy laugh like it's all a joke. She's repeating the exact rhetoric of the pogromites in Europe in the 19th century who followed it up with an axe and a torch.
It actually gives me chills. It really does. It makes my skin crawl.
I can say is I'm not going to let it go by me. That's all. I don't need her as a guest. I never did it. I don't have a television show and I don't want one. If they need a leg crosser like that so badly, they're no better than those who use Paris Hilton or Lindsay Lohan or any of the Britney Spears or the others who exhibit themselves and throw up on themselves just for attention. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. I get worked up. Maybe I shouldn't. I was in the land of the people who don't get worked up. I was in Florida. I bought the white hat. I was ready to move. I got the white hat. I found it in a drugstore. I told you I had a fantasy for years of disappearing like Johnny Carson from the media when no one even knows where I am or what I'm doing. Get the white hat. The ugly white hat. I don't mean the Gucci hat that I have. I have a nice Gucci hat that I wear that's very attractive. I know people like it. The hats are cool. It's like I've been wearing Ray-Bans. I took Ray-Ban sunglasses 15 years ago and put lenses in them because I liked them. I didn't do it because it was stylish. Now I hear Ray-Ban lenses. The same thing with that. I've been wearing hats like forever because I don't like the sun on my face. Now the schmucks are all wearing hats. Now hats are cool. So I happen to have nice hats because I've always worn them to keep the sun off my face. I'll have to stop wearing hats. But I bought a hat, an ugly hat. You can't believe what I bought. I found the most ugly hat ever made for a human being. It's a round, like, hat with a string to keep the wind from blowing it. You put it on, you're 30 years older. The minute you put it on, you look like you're the only thing missing from the picture is a transfusion tree and an attendant behind you with a wheelchair. The second you put it on, I was ready to wear it and disappear. But I come back, I see this, I can't.
Savage.
She's a pimple on the world stage, you know, we'll get over it. She's just another chick who had a bad day, let's put it to you that way. She'll regret this the rest of her life. It probably is going to signal the end of her career. It won't happen immediately, but they're going to walk away from her like she's radioactive. They're not going to say it, but it's going to happen. It's happened to some people before. She has no media outlets other than people who rely upon a general base of listeners, and they're not going to be too happy to listen to people who have her on without really ripping her up on this. And if she continues this, they're going to stop dealing with her. Her publisher fundamentally is going to withdraw. In my estimation, her publisher is going to do something. This reminds me of the thing with Regnery. Remember Judith Regan? She was going to publish that, the book about that guy who killed Ron Goldman, whose name I forgot. What's his name? O.J. Simpson. And then Mr. Big at the News Corporation, Murdoch, freaks out, fires Judith Regan, and withdraws the book. To me, this publisher would be wise to follow Rupert Murdoch's intelligence on this particular issue. This is not something you say, wow, Mr. Ross, you're real genius, Ross. This is good for ratings. You're going to sell books, you schmuck, you. Unbelievable to me. So that's how I see it. Now, what about Gore if he gets the Nobel Prize from the left-wing socialist group there in Sweden who gave the Nobel to Yasser Arafat, the child molester, terrorist, to Jimmy Carter, the man who helped undermine the Shah and bring about radical Islam as of the virus of the earth of this century. So they gave it to him. Why not give it to Al Gore? It's perfect. But what if he does throw his fat in the ring? What's going to happen then? You know, he's liable to win. I don't think Hillary is electable. I think Fred Thompson can beat Hillary. I told you that last week. If Thompson stays the course and just projects this moderate conservatism machismo, he's going to win. Nobody's going to elect Hillary in a time of terror. Moreover, a lot of women hate her. Women do not like Hillary Clinton. Yes, radical left-wing women like her, but most women, particularly those with children, don't like Hillary Clinton. So then you go to the next step. Well, what about Al Gore? Al Gore is more electable than Hillary Clinton is. A, because he was vice president. B, because he's got this fraudulent... these fraudulent credentials with the environment, which a lot of morons believe in. And his accent bothers me a little bit. There's something in it that I'm not too sure about. He did put on 30 pounds since he was around last time, which has given him a wider stance yet. And I don't know, the wider stance may not play west of the Rockies. I'm not quite sure it could. The wider stance could play certainly in the coastal cities. I'm not sure that the wider stance will play in other parts of America if you get the drift. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone. Or the turkey story is really the biggest story. But it's too esoteric for the average listener. Unless you're primed and pumped and you understand geopolitics, I can't do the story on what the Democrats just did to provoke World War III by, let's say, attacking Turkey. Yes, it is true that the Ottoman Turks, meaning i.e. Muslims, don't you love how they use syllogisms everywhere? Ottoman Turks. What is an Ottoman Turk? What was an Ottoman Turk? Hello? The Muslims killed millions of people at that time, including 1.2 million Armenian Christians. But most of you don't even know Armenians were Christians, and the Ottoman Turks were Muslims. But it's in the past. That would be like condemning Germany today for the Holocaust against the Jews. What would that serve? What would that serve today? What, to make the Germans anti-American? That's exactly what these broomsticks with eyes just did, the Democrats, by attacking Turkey. You see, what they're really doing here is they don't give a rat about Armenians. They don't give a rat about the Armenian genocide by the Muslims at the turn of the 20th century. They don't care about that. They can't get the votes to undermine the war, get the troops out of there. So these rats are so evil. This Tom Lantos rat and the others are so evil that they figure by provoking Turkey, which they've done, and Turkey withdrew their ambassador to the U.S. today, which is astonishing. It's a big move. It's a giant move. The next step is they could now go to war with the Kurds, who are real troublemakers, by the way. All you hear is Kurds, Kurdistan, innocent. They're not so innocent. If you study the history of Kurds and the Kurdistan and the Kurds, they were once a very militant, warlike people, and they've been at war with the Turks for like eons. So let's not go with they're the victims and the Turks are the bad guys. The fact of the matter is it's geopolitical struggle, a geopolitical struggle right now for territory,
and the Kurds want to rip off a whole piece of a territory that might or might not be have been theirs ancestrally. But it'd be like saying to the Mexicans, go ahead, take Arizona and New Mexico and Southern California because it was once yours. Now, who in the world would think that America would not go to war if Mexico sent an army into Arizona, which they, of course, they have, they are sending an army. It's an army of laborers rather than an army of military, but that's a separate story. Who would think that America would not fight a Mexican invasion of the United States by military means? So that's exactly what's going on. So the Kurds now want to take a piece of Turkey. Ancestrally, yes, it was a part of Kurdistan, but today it's part of Turkey. So they're like saying, like the Mexicans, it's ours. It's the Reconquista, the reconquest. So we're going to take it. Now, what would that provoke in the U.S.? Would be war. So that's what it's provoking in the Turks. They're going to go to war to defend their land. Okay? Now, who provokes this? You don't do this at a time like this unless you want further turmoil in the Middle East, which is what Lantos, who should know better, is doing. Tom Lantos, Hungarian Jewish, Holocaust survivor, wears it like a badge, has used it all his life to get ahead, in my estimation. If you don't like it, it's too bad. It's the way I see it. And since I say things exactly the way I see them, I'll say it anyway. And you can send all the letters you want because I don't care. I don't care if you don't like what I just said. I don't like people who use the Holocaust to get ahead any more than I like lawyers who use the Holocaust to rob people who had nothing to do with the Holocaust. How do you like that? I don't like them any more than I like class action lawyers who rob businesses that they had nothing to do with creating. To me, they're one and the same slime. They're like slime mold in a biology textbook. So why would you provoke a Turkish or a Kurdish situation now? The answer is if you're a slimy liberal in the Democrat Party who hates the war in Iraq and doesn't have the votes to stop it, what you do is you provoke an ally of America called Turkey, where our fuel for our jets and our planes is allowed to transit through Turkish trucks. And the water. Remember, there's a lack of water, drinking water, in Iraq, particularly in northern Iraq. And it comes to our fighting men through Turkey again over the mountains, driven by Turkish truck drivers. So they have a big stake in this war. You cut off the water. You cut off the fuel. You cut off the food. You cut off the medical supplies like Lantos and those Democrat rats are trying to do. And what you do is you kill the war. So you say that's the way to do things in a democracy? It's unbelievable to me. So, I mean, I didn't want to talk about it, but I did. I gave you a little capsule. Now, the reason I can do it is because I know a little bit about history, and I know a little bit about this history, and I know a lot about the Democrat politics, and I know how they're weasels, and how they always do things behind the people. Of course, there was a genocide of the Armenian people by the Ottoman Turks, i.e. the Muslim fanatics of that time. There was also a genocide against the Greeks. The Greek Orthodox were killed by the hundreds of thousands, their churches burned, churches with Christians hiding in it as the hordes of Muslims came through, Greece died. You don't hear the Greeks demanding that there be an immediate condemnation of Turkey today for something that was done 150 years ago. What does this serve right now when the world is already walking around on tether hooks? The whole thing is like an eggshell game. Why now, Mr. Lantos? Because you're a rat who doesn't have the votes in Congress. So you're such a smart genius that you figure you'll provoke a war over there, which will undermine the Iraq war. You idiot, you. This is unbelievable. So we have George Bush, who admittedly is a terrible commander-in-chief for reasons I've spelled out. And then you have the Democrats, who are far worse than George Bush in terms of their deviousness and their absolute evil, in one man's opinion. So we can talk about anything you want to talk about. Let's go to the callers. I think the Coulter thing is all you want to hear about. If you want to hear it, you can go on to michaelsavage.com and listen to the hag. You can listen to her swan song, because I don't think there are going to be too many outlets other than, let's say, Leprechaun, and because when they run out of ideas, which is like the minute they wake up in the morning, they got to go to either violence or leg crossing in order to get an audience. So what do you want to talk about? Anything? Rob, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, sometimes I got to be honest with you. You give me the creeps. It sounds like God speaks right through your mouth. It's unbelievable. But I'll tell you this. You should be concerned about what Coulter said, because there is a contamination within modern Christianity today. And And there are a lot of Christians that believe somehow the Jewish people have been forsaken and they have, you know, taken their place. And that is incredibly erroneous, especially when Jesus Christ made it very clear in the New Testament that all Gentiles were grafted into the olive branch, which any biblical student would know are the Jewish people. If anything, Christ called that we protect all the Jewish people, provide with them financially, spiritually, even lay down our lives. It's very...
Rob, you know, you're a brilliant man, and I want to go back to what you said at the beginning. It was a little garbled, but I heard it, and I want the people to hear it. You said something about her contaminating the dialogue. Please explain that.
Absolutely. I think that within the Christian church today, what a lot of Christians have come to know, they're aware of this, it's called replacement theology, and that's this idea that after the Jewish temple, King Solomon's temple, was destroyed in 70 AD, that this was the final climax and really the end of the Jewish blessing, that the Christians, that the Gentiles of today and then a few hundred years ago and so forth, have now been given God's blessing, Jesus Christ's blessing. And if anything, the Bible isn't very clear that the only people ever guaranteed salvation are the Jewish people, you know, without any kind of preconditions set forth for the Gentiles. The Gentiles have to, they've been given salvation, they've been grafted into the salvation plan by the mercy of God through the Jewish people. We owe the Jewish people everything, Dr. Savage. And it's foolish for Gentiles.
So, wait, do you agree with my historical reference when I say that there were once three branches of Judaism with three sects known as the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes? Every educated Christian knows that. And that from this last sect, the Essenes, came a new Jewish sect known as the Christians. That is an historic fact, correct?
Absolutely, 100% accurate.
All right, but this is something that an educated Christian knows. It's the uneducated, axe-wielding, drunken louts who apparently now have a skirt to speak for them, who think that Jews are imperfect Christians.
Absolutely, and that's the arrogance within the Christian community that's very ignorant of what even biblical scripture has to say about that entire concept. The whole issue of Jews accepting Jesus Christ, that's a whole other separate issue that God will deal with himself, but in no way, shape, or form does that diminish the fact that we are required to, without question, walk in lockstep with the Jewish people. That's why no Christian should be supporting this roadmap to peace. It's a suicide mission. It's anti-biblical in every way, shape, and form. It's a disgrace, Dr. Savage.
Rob, I wish you were my friend, and I wish we could have a drink together. And I don't say that too often on this show. I don't know what to say to you other than God bless you and thank you for calling the program. Yes, the man has said it correctly. The Hag is contaminating the dialogue between Christians and Jews. Don't you understand this, what this does? You start out with making jokes like this, the Jews are imperfect Christians. What do you think that translation is inside the head of a drunken lout who comes out of a bar and passes a synagogue? And tell me what that is. Are you proud of the fact that you are probably going to provoke violence in this world? It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me. KNEW, San Francisco. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm a self-proclaimed goy who believes in the fourth sect of Judaism. I disagree with Ann Coulter, sounding like the queen of self-esteem, being so flip about such a horrible history of so-called Christians who've bloodied the Jews from the second century on through the Crusades, through Martin Luther, through Jabłonki Poland, and I will never buy another one of her books.
I mean, you're another man. I'd like this soundbite saved. I mean, you know, this is so beautifully put. This man just said it all. She says it in such a flippant way as though it's a joke when it has provoked murder in the past. This is not a simple slip. She went on and on about it, like she was so smart and knew everything and that she could get away with saying it over and over again, not saying, you know what, I didn't mean that, excuse me. Let me rephrase that. No, she had to go on because she is Anne. What is this girl thinking? I was right about, I mean, I wouldn't have her on the show for years now because I didn't like that hack laugh. I knew something behind it was, there was something off here. Something off here. Fort Lauderdale, Caroline, go ahead, please.
Michael, I am a Christian, and you are being intolerant of me as a Christian. Ann Coulter meant to say probably completed Jew, not perfected Jew.
Well, who are you to say what she meant to say when she repeated what she said?
Pardon?
No, I'm not going to repeat myself. I don't do that on my show. Don't play the excuse me number. That's something liberals do with me when they realize they're wrong. Don't play games with me. You're in a chess game, lady. Stop playing checkers in a trailer park.
Talk to Hag.
Get out. Get off my show. Go ahead. Go smoke those pell-mells and swill that liquor there. Go spit in front of a synagogue. You know, this religious bigotry that's coming up now from the gutter and underneath the skirts is really, who would you have expected this from her? If David Duke had gone to the Ukraine, which he's done, to provoke hatred for Jews over the last years, he couldn't get an audience even in America. So he had to go to Russia to stir it up. If he had a sex change operation somewhere on the way back, let's say in Denmark, wherever they're doing them today, Guam, I don't know where, and he came back in a miniskirt and dyed his hair blonde and then did the leg crossing and the laughter at his bad anti-Semitism, it would have been her. It's amazing to me. Well, if you're not disgusted by this and you actually believe she's right, you have to recognize that you probably are a bigot. It's that simple. You are probably a bigot who hates Jews for no reason other than you're an inferior person who resents anybody who's more successful than you. And you assume all Jews are more successful than you. So you therefore hate them because you resent them, which means you're just like your grandfather in Poland. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There are so many stories today. It's amazing how many things are coming together. You know, the biggest stories are this deal about the Democrat left wing under Lantos condemning Turkey for something that occurred 100 and some odd years ago that has provoked already the recalling of the Turkish ambassador from the United States. It could be a repeat of World War One, where now Turkey's joined into the Middle East situation by going to war against Kurdistan. Believe me, if that happens, the Russians are going to get drawn into this. The Iranians want this to happen because they're looking for the apocalypse, the so-called 12th Mahdi, which is, if you know anything about it, how dangerous the psychopath is from Iran and what he wants, which is this apocalyptic end of days to bring about Islam's rule over the world. And Iran, we read today, has a strategy with to use 1,000 speedboats to swarm our big ships. And it's like sort of flies. Very good strategy. They don't have a real navy. We have these huge gargantuans, the dreadnoughts. And I tell you, I fear that if he did launch thousands of speedboats against our ships, they could sink some of them. And if you think that the loss of men that we've had thus far is bad, which it is, you're going to lose that many in one day. And I don't know what might happen to this world the day that happens. We had a chance to take out the snake's head. We had a chance, but we didn't do it. He's Hitler all over again. What if the Iranians swarmed our ships with speedboats loaded with explosives and sank one of our big ships and we lost 3,000 to 5,000 of our best and brightest? What would happen then? Tell me what would happen then. There's amazing stories out there, and I try to put them up on michaelsavage.com for you to peruse, and I wish you would look at them. I really do. 1-800-449-8255. In the next hour, we have Pat Buchanan to talk about this astonishing 3COM deal, a takeover by the Chinese military. That's a huge story. The proposed deal, everything's a deal, between 3COM, a network equipment company, and Huawei, a Chinese telecom company with close ties to the Chinese military, being factored by Goldman Sachs, our Treasury Secretary, former CEO of Goldman Sachs, our Chief of Staff at George Bush, former Chief Executive, or one of the top executives at Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is, in essence, running the United States of America. Now, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against Goldman Sachs. They're great investment bankers. But at a certain point, I would like to see my government step in and say, excuse me, guys, not today. We got to put our national security above the bottom line. Take the boys from Wall Street and tell them to shove it or make them walk the plank. Whatever you have to do, this deal can't go through. That's what I believe. It's got to be blocked. Bush is for it. The Treasury Secretary is for it. Everyone's for it, but your country is not for it. Your country will lose big time. And Pat Buchanan and I are going to talk about it. Be here.
Savage.
Warning.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation Part 3 today. Now, I know that you want to continue to talk about the Rocky Horror Picture Show post-op transvestite look-alike with fake eyelashes, who has clearly come out of the closet as a retro, you know, prehistoric anti-Semite. But I don't want to talk about it. I want to go to something much more important than some harridan who's finally exposed herself in the most provocative manner. And that is the proposed deal between 3Com, a network equipment company, and a Chinese telecom company with close ties to the Chinese military that is being fast-tracked by Goldman Sachs, who planted one of their own, former CEO as Treasury Secretary, who planted one of their guys as Chief of Staff to George Bush. George Bush has never met a business deal, an international business deal, that he didn't like. And that's all well and good. I'm a capitalist, not a communist. But when it comes to national security, somebody has to put a firewall between the bottom line and survival. It's not George Bush. It's not the Treasury Secretary. It's talk radio. And right now it's Pat Buchanan who's joining us to talk about this travesty, this atrocity, and his new book, State of Emergency. Pat Buchanan, as always, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, we got to talk about this 3Com deal. Pat, you wrote an interesting book, State of Emergency. I know it's tied into this to a certain extent. Who is going to stop this deal between 3Com and the Chinese telecom company? Who can stop it?
Well, the Treasury Secretary Paulson has recused himself because he is formerly ran Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs is greasing the skids for the deal. There's a committee that is run now by Kimmett, the number two man at Treasury, which has got to review these deals. Kimmett's the same individual that let the Dubai ports deal go through, but he got burned so badly that I think they're going to have to block this deal, Michael. But let me give to you the larger problem here. It is this. Because of these monster trade deficits we've been running, $233 billion with China alone last year, the Chinese have compiled $1.3 trillion in currency reserves. About 75 or 80% of it is in U.S.-denominated instruments, T-bills, treasury bonds, and all that. Mm-hmm. They have learned what the Arabs have learned, like Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates. They put together what are called sovereign wealth funds. So instead of buying T-bills and treasury bonds, they move their currency reserves into these accounts, and they buy properties, and they invest in things that will give them a higher rate of return. The Chinese mm-hmm. now have $1.3 trillion. They're late to the game, but they're putting together their own sovereign wealth fund. And when they do, they're going to have the capacity to buy up not only firms that give them a higher rate of return in the United States, but vital assets. And this is the first big move. They just bought 10% of Blackstone for $3 billion. Now, Blackstone's wired into all kinds of American companies. It's an investment firm.
And we know about, isn't the Bush family deeply tied into Blackstone?
I don't know. I think they were tied into the into another one of those funds. I'm not sure it's Blackstone, but a lot of these have been come up in recent years, and I know James Baker was tied into one of those funds. But mm-hmm. the interesting thing about this is the Chinese are now moving on what is a strategic asset of the United States. You've got this company which makes the technology to prevent hackers from getting into our computer systems, and the Chinese recently apparently tried to hack into the Pentagon computer system right close to the office of Gates. So I don't know how we can let this sale go through or this merger go through. But the key question, Michael, is what's coming down the road. When they got $1.3 trillion, they're going to go into all of these areas, and these other countries are as well, and I think they're going to start buying up the strategic technology of the United States.
Well, you were 100% right when you opposed NAFTA, and that was well over 10 years ago. You warned us that there'd be a giant sucking sound to the South, and there has been. We've lost millions of jobs and millions of manufacturing jobs at that. Many of our vegetable industries have been destroyed, and our fruit industries have been destroyed, decimated, as though a plague of locusts had come over our fields. We were once the breadbasket of a good part of the world. Today, we are not the breadbasket. We're the sad sacks of most of the world. When does this stop, Pat? Who stops this?
What's going to start to stop it is what you've seen is the dollar losing its value. People don't want it as much anymore. When Bush came in, I think it was a euro was worth about 83 cents. A euro is now worth $1.42. Gold is up at $750 an ounce. You mentioned NAFTA in Mexico. Let me tell you what happened. We told them it would happen. We predicted it. And they said, no, you know, illegal immigration will slow down and America can maintain its trade surplus. Since NAFTA, we have run $500 billion in trade deficits with Mexico. Last year, Michael, 2006, Mexico exported 933,000 cars to the United States. We exported 600,000 to the whole world. Now,
oh, my God. Wait a minute. Let's stop right. Can you say that again?
History.
Pat Buchanan, say that again. Last year, Mexico exported over 900,000 cars to the world, and we exported only 600,000? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, you heard 933,000 to the United States alone, and we exported 600,000 to the world. We don't build cars here. A lot of our factories right now have been moved abroad. You know, when the Delphi, which makes the computer parts the auto parts for General Motors, I checked it out. They had 50 factories along the border. Every single one of them was on the other side of the border. The point is, we lost about 1 million jobs to Mexico. Mexico's now losing them to China. But the United States, this is what's happening to General Motors and Ford and Chrysler. They don't make 50% of our cars anymore.
All right, so now we understand that we saw the electronics industry being decimated by the Japanese in the 70s. We now see other strategic industries being decimated by other nations. But now we're getting down to something far more fundamental, which is national security. Most listeners to this show, Pat Buchanan, do not understand this deal because it's too complicated. But 3COM goes with another connective set of words called Bain Capital Partners. You're aware who Bain Capital Partners is? Are you aware?
Bain Capital, they were one of the firms like the one Mitt Romney worked for back in...
Mitt Romney was one of the founders of Bain Capital. Right. Now, no one has asked Mitt Romney on the campaign trail whether he's for the sale of 3COM, the merger of 3COM with this Chinese telecom company, but I think it's an extremely valid question. You know, Pat, when the Dubai ports deal came up, this show stopped it. I mean, we got to take credit where credit is due. I'm not going to be so meek here. It was because I asked my listeners to send emails, and they did by the millions, if not by the hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many really went out. But they got scared, and they stopped the deal. Schumer even came on this show for obviously political reasons. Do you think we have the power to stop this deal today if we can get those hundreds of thousands of emails out there?
I think you can, Michael. I really believe... And I also think that the administration has got to be very leery of this. After that huge firestorm was created with your help and with other folks in there to stop the Dubai ports deal, I think this thing can be stopped because it is so transparently a conflict with the national security of the United States.
What do they have to lose, though? Bush is a lame duck. He's not going to run again. Goldman Sachs planted their CEO into Treasury. Look, the last Treasury secretary who tried to pull a fast one on us through sleight of hand had come into the administration after selling off a railway line with a little help from his friends from Dubai. I mean, come on. What do they got to lose? What do they care what the people think? They've told us over and over again, the people be damned. I don't think this administration hears a thing the people say.
But look, let me tell you, the White House was in favor of that Dubai ports deal. They came out in favor of it. They defended it, and it was only when the firestorm really got going that they were stopped. Look, the Congress of the United States is responsive to public pressure. The candidates on the campaign trail, Democrats as well as Republicans, you say out there, look, this is a vital technology to American national security, and a company with direct ties to the People's Liberation Army of China is trying to get control of it. At the same time, somebody else in the People's Liberation Army is trying to hack into the Pentagon, and you got a powerful argument. And people can make that, and even when they get out on those debates, Michael, and they have to answer that, they're going to say, I don't think this is a good deal. I think this ought to be looked at. And it's going to be looked at. Paulson wouldn't have recused himself unless there were problems attendant to it. So I think this thing can be stopped. I mean, the Washington Times came out against it, which is, you know, the editorial page came out against it, and that's something the administration listens to. And so I think this is going to take some time to look at. Kimmett himself, the number two man at Treasury, I knew him in the Reagan White House. He's a very bright guy. He don't want to be burned a second time. He's a fellow that's got a bright future ahead of him, but he got burned once on this Dubai porch deal. He's burned again, and that's the end of his future.
Are they so blind that they don't even see what they are doing? Do they not have children and grandchildren? Do they not understand that the Chinese military is plotting step by step, stage by stage, day by day, week by week to gain supremacy over us and to conduct an electronic Pearl Harbor on us by their own admission? Do they not understand that they are acting as Quislings acted in the past in other countries? Pat Buchanan has written a great book called State of Emergency. I highly recommend it. Pat, please stay with us to continue to discuss the sellout of America right here on the Savage Nation. Savage.
That the Huawei merger with 3Com presents a pretty significant threat to U.S. national security because of Huawei's ties with the military and what that might mean for China's ability to conduct computer network attack against the United States.
Huawei's founder is a former Chinese soldier. One U.S. defense official is quoted as saying the company supplies the Chinese military with communications networks. Huawei denies that.
Well, this is the big story. It's much bigger than the Rocky Horror Picture Show hag displaying her anti-Semitic core. And I think we should talk about this specifically, and we are going to talk about it. Pat Buchanan again returns on the Savage Nation. He's got a great new book, State of Emergency. Pat, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
So tell us more about your book, Pat. Let's get down to the book itself.
Well, the book on State of Emergency is one that deals with the border crisis of the United States, which I think is an existential crisis of the nation. Michael, by middle of this century, we're going to have 105 million Hispanics in the United States, heavily concentrated in an American Southwest that 58% of all Mexicans believe belongs to them by right. I think somewhere in the 1990s, the Mexican regime awoke to the idea of the Reconquista, not by military force, but by basically pushing their poor and their unemployed into the United States and linguistically, ethnically, culturally reannexing those states of the American Southwest that were won for the United States in 1848 by James K. Polk. And I think that is a clear plan on the part of the Mexican government. I think there is obliviousness on the part of some in Washington, D.C., there is indifference on the part of the other about the whole idea of borders. There's an ideological component here. There's a lot of folks, you know, Strobe Talbot famously wrote, we're all going to be citizens of the world. Nations are all artificial. And I think all these forces working together could result in the decomposition of the United States, the deconstruction of America.
Well, isn't that what the left wing has dreamed of for a long time now? I mean, Strobe Talbot's father was deeply involved in the Soviet invasion of the United States of America within other governmental branches. I looked into Strobe Talbot's. You know who his father was, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, okay, that's another story. But we all heard the name Strobe Talbot, and we knew he was a big guy in the Clinton administration. He was a New World Order guy. But if you look at the history of the Talbot family, they were long involved in the Soviet a penetration of the United States of America, according to my reading, and I could be mistaken on that, but I don't think I am, a pretty good memory. But let's forget past history. Why is George Bush so intimately involved with the same globalism that Clinton was, if not more so?
You know, this is really difficult to explain, because I just put out a column tomorrow on the Law of the Sea Treaty, which Bush has endorsed. Remember, Reagan killed it. This is this thing that puts all the oceans underneath this new United Nations called the International Seabed Authority. And Bush went for that. At the same time when he came in, he knocked the Kyoto Protocol in the head, and he rejected the International Criminal Court, both of which are institutions of world government.
Well, wait, Pat, I've got to interject right here. He knocked the world court, but meanwhile, right now, he's siding with the world court on the issue of the Mexican rapist murderer who the Texas Supreme Court has condemned to death. And now George Bush has said, drop dead to the Texas Supreme Court. He's now sided with the international court. You know that story, right?
Well, this is why I don't think you have intellectual coherence, frankly, in George Bush. That's putting it mildly. I think about the Mexican border.
Well, wait, of course it's putting it mildly, because in order to have intellectual coherence, you need one to have the other.
I think, look, he's got an idea about Mexico. I think it's pretty much, you remember the movie Giant with Rock Hudson and back in the 50s?
Well, yeah, you know, that's when Elizabeth Taylor had purple eyes.
That's exactly right. Elizabeth Taylor was involved in that, and you got Jed, what was his name, our friend that got killed in the auto accident, and he played that great role.
Oh, Bullitt. Bullitt was in it, wasn't he?
No, it wasn't Bullitt. It was the one that died in 1954, you know.
James Dean, I'm sorry.
He was in there, played the Texas millionaire. But anyhow, Bush has got this romantic idea that is outdated by events. You listen to Vicente Fox. He understands the North American Union. He's working toward it. He talked about it when he went to the EU. He said, you're the model for what we want. I don't know that Bush understands all this. I mean, he was up there in Canada. He rejected the idea, and he said, this is nonsense. This is a conspiracy theory. But that is what is going on in America, and folks understand it. But Bush, I think there's an ideological component. He believes in a free trade area of the Americans. He doesn't understand that when you open borders or completely to goods and things from third world countries, the ultimate result is the rise of transnational governmental institutions and a rising transnational government.
Well, I understand it very well, and I understand that the danger to our economy and to our sovereignty, the dangers are quite real, just as the dangers to the traditional family in America are very real with the advent of transgendered thinking in San Francisco. I'll be right back to continue this dialogue with Pat Buchanan on the Savage Nation.
Huawei is one of the least transparent Chinese companies, and this is not a commercial transaction. This is an attempt to get U.S. technology through the markets, and that's just not right. And you look at Huawei, it came from nowhere, it's grown too fast, it has links which are much too close to the Chinese military. So even if it isn't a front company for the People's Liberation Army, we know that it's going to cooperate with Beijing.
That's Gordon Chung, author and expert on Chinese affairs. He knows more than President Bush and the Treasury Secretary. Pat Buchanan has written a new book called State of Emergency. Pat, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Where does this end, Pat?
Thank you.
Where does this all end, Pat?
I think you can stop this one, Michael. I believe this can be stopped because a lot of attention to it. But I tell you, I don't know where it ends for this reason. The Chinese have so much cash over there. They got more than $1,000 billion. And anybody abroad, of course, can buy into the U.S. stock market. But when they put this money into these funds, these investment funds, and start buying in for strategic purposes, they're going to be reaching into everything in the United States they want to buy, because China wants to be great again as it was in the past.
Well, what's to stop them from buying a shipbuilding company? What's to stop them from buying a tank factory and then contaminating the tank line? Stops them?
There is nothing I know of except this agency headed by Kimmett over there at Treasury, which says certain strategic things are off limits. But when they got this much money, there's a tremendous number of American companies, you know, Microsoft, Boeing, and all these others, into which you can buy and buy. Do they get to access to the technology? I mean, the Russians and some others are buying Barclays Bank. Do you really want the Chinese owning banks and getting all this kind of information out of them? This is one of the great issues coming, Michael. They're called sovereign wealth funds, and these nations Americans are beginning to invest not simply for income, but for strategic advantage, and, you know, as trading nations have always done down through history. And we've given them, because of these trade deficits, $5 trillion we've run in trade deficits in the last 15 years. $5 trillion. All that cash is over there, and they're sitting on it, and they got strategic objectives, and they're going to use it for them.
So we're being hollowed out from within by greedy men and greedy women who will do anything for the bottom line. At the same time, we have a not-so-silent invasion by Mexico. How does this country hold? How does the center hold is the question. That's why Pat Buchanan has written another great book called State of Emergency. Pat, thanks for being with us today on the Savage Nation, and I wish you great luck with your book. It's very important that people read it.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Hope to talk to you
again. Thank you.
You will.
I hope so. Thanks, Pat. Well, Pat's always written interesting books. He's really been an intellectual leader in so many ways. I haven't agreed with him on some issues. That's to be expected. We come from different backgrounds, and we see things differently on some fundamental issues. But in others, I mean, this man really knows an awful lot. He's been around a long time. But now back to the topic that you really want to talk about, which is the contamination of the dialogue between Christians and Jews. As exemplified today by the Rocky Horror Picture Show post-op transvestite look-alike persona, or shall we say a Connecticut anorexic in King Arthur's court, if you want to be more polite and a little more arch about it. But it's not funny. You don't joke about things like this, which can provoke the unwashed, drunken masses into violence. And that's what she has done here, in my opinion. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about someone who was embarrassed, let us say, real conservative women for a long time. I know it for a fact. There are dignified conservative women out there who have been made very uncomfortable by this creature for a long time. And today they feel somewhat exonerated. I'm not going to mention names here, but there are some very dignified conservative columnists and commentators who have been offended by this creature for a long period of time. For reasons that I don't have to enumerate, because I don't want to get too catty here, but it's pretty obvious to any woman what this creature stands. She's sort of like the Britney Spears of the conservative movement. Let's put it to you that way. And instead of vomiting on herself on Sunset Boulevard, she has verbal diarrhea every time she appears on any of the cable shows. So now she goes on the air and she spews classic, and I'm talking classic anti-Semitism. Who am I talking about? Ann Coulter. Listen to this interchange.
So you said we should just throw Judaism away and we should all be Christians then. Or,
yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. So it's kind of a fast track.
Really?
You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly.
Yes.
You're too educated. You can't. Are you like my friend?
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No. But
we
mean,
have the fast track program.
Sure. We'll put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on. You can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
Let's wipe Israel off the earth. I mean, what, no Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected.
We just want Jews to be perfected. Now, who is we, Ann? And what do you mean you have to obey? Who do we have to obey? A creature like you? This is really amazing to me. Jews have to be perfected. That's what the drunken louts who conducted pogroms would say prior to cutting the beards off rabbis in old Poland or old Russia. That's what drunken louts would say prior to burning synagogues to the ground. I suppose they had wives and prostitutes like this who thought it was cute when they came back from a pogrom. Jeff in New York City on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you think of this Harridan's remarks?
I think this is a virulent anti-Semitic rhetoric. Rhetoric that is consistent with the ancient history to which you very prophetically referred in yesterday's program. The revolution against Rome that started in the year 64 in the Galilee of Israel was led by a general by the name of Yosef of Matathiah Kohen, known to the literate world as Josephus. And Josephus...
Oh, wait, no, I can tell the rest of that story. Josephus then capitulated. He was brought before the Roman general, and he agreed. The Roman general was going to kill him, but the Roman general, I want you to show I know a little bit more than I sometimes sound like I know when I don't enumerate what I, or elucidate what I know. Josephus was brought before the Roman general who was going to slay him, but he talked his way out of it, And the general said, I'll tell you what, Jew, I'll keep you alive if you become a chronicler of the massacres I'm about to inflict upon the Jews. Is that correct?
I'm very impressed. Very impressed. The Roman general by the name was Aspasianus Vespasian, and Vespasian ultimately becomes emperor of Rome. His son, Titus or Titus, proceeds to destroy the Holy Temple. That was in the year 70 of the Common Era. The chronicler, Josephus, wrote actually three volumes. One was the Jewish Wars, in which he chronicled this event. Another was a book of Jewish history, but the third was a book called Contra Appian. Appian was a Hellenist Greek Roman in Alexandria in Egypt, and he began a story, a narrative about Jewish families capturing, killing, and using the blood of non-Jewish boys around Passover time to make matzah. This is the basis of Julius Streicher. This is the ancestry from which this Ann Coulter derives her anti-Semitic nonsense. The Jews have survived a history of thousands of years. We fought within the context of civil war, to which you alluded last night, for almost the 435 years of the Second Temple era. The original Jews, the Pharisees, were then contaminated by two sects. One were the Bisusim, the other the Sadukim, or the Sadducees. There was a class given by the...
No, I know that. Then we also had a third sect called the Essenes, and later from a new Jewish sect evolved from the Essenes called the Christians. All educated Christians know and accept this as factual. But most modern Christians do not walk around saying Jews are imperfect Christians. That would be like saying that Jews are four-fifths a spiritual person.
That is correct. That is correct.
So what does she think then of Muslims? Are they one-fifth a spiritual person? And what does she think of Buddhists and Hindus? How dare she say things like this? After all, she's not some toothless hag somewhere drunk on redneck cocaine somewhere. What is she thinking? Does she think it's a joke because she laughs at it?
She hides behind the eloquent narrative of her intellectual prowess, and she spews a venom that contaminates the very essence of our society, that social dynamic that has been the cohesion of Jews and Christians within our society and in this American culture. And I think that indeed. So,
but wait, to go back to something you said earlier, because I'm more interested in that than I am in the skirt. We were talking about Josephus, who was a Palestinian Jew, by the way, from a wealthy priestly family, who then returned to Judea, and then rose to becoming the supreme commander of the Jewish Galilean forces. I think people should understand that. Now, after the Galilean armies were shattered, Josephus was captured. I want to finish this and brought before Vespasian, the future Roman emperor, and the future Jewish historian, then became friends because the future Jewish historian Josephus agreed to become the chronicler by accompanying the Roman forces during the siege of Jerusalem so he could write the history of that war. Of course, he's been labeled a traitor from that time onward, but his books, History of the Jewish War and Antiquities of the Jews, are considered great volumes in existence that deal with the two fateful centuries of Jewish history from 100 BC to 100 AD. What does that have to do, though, with this astonishing turnaround for a so-called intellectual Ann Coulter and what she's exhibited on that television show, Jeff?
I believe that what we are seeing, Michael, is yet another manifestation of an ancient phenomena of anti-Semitism that is absolutely impregnated within the very culture of very few. But it is virulent. It is on its face.
Well, why would this Connecticut anorexic in King Arthur's court, as I have affectionately termed her, contaminate the Jewish Christian dialogue when we are all under attack by radical Islam? What is she thinking?
I believe I can sum it up in one word: greed. She is.
So, in other words, by attack, trying to mock Jews and by Jew baiting that poor host on television, she thought she'd sell a few books?
I believe so, yes. I believe she was motivated.
Well, what do you think she had in her mind when she said you have to obey to the Jewish host? What was that reference to? I didn't catch that. What does she mean by you have to obey? What was that all about?
I believe she's making reference to obeying that which is in what we commonly call the New Testament, what she would refer to as believe in Jesus as a Savior and as a Lord. The fact that
it sounds to me like dialogue out of a sadomasochistic torture chamber. You have to obey. What is she, a dominatrix?
It would seem that in her mind she appears to be so.
There's an element of sadomasochism, there's an element of anti-Semitism, there's an element of madness, and there's an element of evil in what went on in that show, Jeff, which is why I'm devoting time to this, to see a so-called conservative spokeswoman who has done things that have made other people uncomfortable, and I figured, so what, so do I. But to do a thing like this at a time like this is utterly astonishing, Jeff. And I thank you for your elucidation and your wisdom on the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. You're listening to the Savage Nation. Again, I invite you to visit michaelsavage.com to see these and other stories that I have not gotten to, that I'm telling you today is an amazing day. I was on not a vacation, really. I was there for other reasons. So I was off a couple of days, and I broadcast from Florida the other day. I flew yesterday. I'm here today, and I wake up to all of these things, the issue of Turkey being provoked by Lantos, the issue of Jews being provoked by this Rocky Horror Picture Show lookalike. It's amazing to me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, like, there's so many things coming together. The big story here, let's not lose scope. The two giant stories are the recall of the Turkish ambassador provoked by Mr. Lantos, the great professor from Stanford, the great genius who obviously knows what's going to happen. I mean, he can play chess as well as anybody. Okay, provoke Turkey. They recall the Turkish ambassador. Now they can probably go to war with the Kurds, which is just what these weasel Democrats apparently want, in order to further destabilize the situation in the Middle East, make George Bush look even worse, in order to usher in the Democrat year, the Democrat decade. It's unbelievable. They would destroy a world for a political gain. To me, it's criminal. To me, it's a criminal act what Lantos and company have tried to do with Turkey. It's unbelievable, but it's too big a story, you see, so it's not going to be that important. The takeover of one of our companies by the Chinese military is another giant story. That one might have legs because the people are not quite as stupid as George Bush and Mr. Paulson think they are. Okay, you caught on to the Dubai ports deal pretty good, and you stopped it. This is bigger. This is bigger. The Chinese have been hacking into the Defense Department now for a year, and now we're going to sell them the company that stops the hacking. You hear? You hear? This is the thinking of Goldman Sachs today. This would be like making parachutes with bad silk and giving them to the boys in World War II on a bombing mission. And then when they jump out of a plane, the parachute breaks. And the guy who did it says, what's the difference? It was the bottom line. I made a lot of money with the salami. You know what I'm saying? It's like selling poison salami to the boys in the army. And then they get caught because they used a different preservative, but it was cheaper, and it made more money for the salami company. The guy said, so what? I made a lot of money during the black market in World War II. It's no different to me. These are black marketeers. These are war profiteers. These are criminals. They should be tried for this. But they won't be. And the reason they won't be is because we no longer have a two-party system. We have had a one-party system for too many decades right now. And remarkably, it was General Eisenhower, then President Eisenhower, who warned us that this day would come. He saw it back in the 50s. Can you dig up the Beware the Military-Industrial Complex as quickly as possible? You have it ready? Play it now.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
All right, let's stop right there. Dwight D. Eisenhower. Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us that this day would come. Now, this is not the first day that this has appeared, but God in heaven, it better be the last, because if it isn't, there's no United States of America. You will all be serfs in the New World Order. you will be not surfing in the New World Order on the internet. You'll become a surf in the New World Order, as sure as I'm sitting here. Now, if you think these are the deranged delusions of some right-wing nut, you are a hopeless lunatic. If you think that the Chinese government is not out to gain military supremacy over us without firing a shot, then I suggest a little reading material for you tonight. And it begins with a man you may not have heard of or you may not have read. But what's the point of me telling this? What's the point of me telling this to you? Most of you are living in dream worlds. Most of the Democrats live in a world of Prozac and alcohol and delusionary thinking, where they believe if only there was no homophobia and racism, so-called, the world would be a place of peace and love. The world doesn't work that way. We have genuine enemies. They are real. They are circling us, and they would love to see this country fall further than it has already fallen. Unfortunately, at the same time in this coming perfect storm, we also have the greediest generation in the history of the United States government. Astonishingly, we have people who have come from investment banks, who have done business with these very enemies, who are now directing what can and cannot be sold to these enemies, all in the name of a better profit margin, so their investors will reward them with higher share prices, and so they can fly off in their Gulfstream jet to where? There will be nowhere to go. There will be no there. And the fact of the matter is, there used to be a sense of family where people would say, you know what, even I have my limits because I recognize that my child or my child's child will be affected by my decision. Those days are gone, ladies and gentlemen. We seem to have people in the highest places who do not think strategically. They do not think genealogically. They think only in the most narrow-minded way, which is, what is the profit and loss statement with regard to what I wish to do? We are in grave danger in this country, which is why I come on the air every day. As I've said to you, I am past the point of caring what my ratings are, what my earnings are. I care only about the United States of America. Borders, language, culture are my ruling modalities. Yes, it is God first, but it's nation second. I cannot live without either of them, and I hope that you'll join me tomorrow for a continuation of the Savage Nation.
Savage.